Thanks, Sam. Those are some of the things we get our intern to do, to read scripture and such. Anyway, I just want to thank you and also wish you a Merry Christmas. Just in case we miss some of you for our Christmas Eve service, you are invited to that, 6:30, so invite your friends and family and your enemies, 6:30 Tuesday, to Christmas Eve service. And if you're not there, Merry Christmas and have a great time with your families. So let's just pray. And then we'll dig in. Lord, thank you for your incredible humility by becoming a servant, a human being, a baby, to be with us in our neighborhoods, in our world, to save us. And we celebrate that fact today and for this week. And may it penetrate deep into our hearts. And as we open your word from the Gospel of John, may we learn anew a different perspective. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the Gospel of John is known to be both simple and deep. And someone said this book is like a pool that's safe for a child to paddle in, but also deep enough for an elephant to swim in. It's just that kind of book. So it includes many deep insights, mind-boggling insights, but the Gospel of John is actually really a welcoming book for anyone and everyone. That's why publishers often publish the Gospel of John, because of its simple message, even though there is hidden depth there. Now, John's interesting because it doesn't actually record the nativity story. Have you noticed that? There's no record of the nativity story. You don't hear about Joseph and Mary and their journey to Bethlehem. But it doesn't mean that John has nothing to say about the Christmas story. Actually, quite the opposite. John looks at the Christmas story through a wide-angle lens, not a telephoto, not a microscopic kind of lens. His Christmas story is a global Christmas story. So I call it God's global Christmas story. Now, for most people, Christmas is about family. You get together with your family. So there's a familiar Christmas carol, you know it well. I'm not sure who wrote it, but have yourself a merry little Christmas, right? We all know that song. And this is one of the lines: those who are near to us and dear to us, those who have gathered around us. And so that captures the image of intimacy with your family around the tree in the living room. And that's a wonderful thing. That's what we're going to do this week sometime, right? But here in John chapter 1, the advent of Jesus goes far beyond the family room to a Christmas that is deep and wide, that is cosmic and global. So I want you to listen again to some of the verses that Sam read, and let me point these things out to you. Through him, talking about Jesus, all things were made. That's pretty impressive. In him was life, and that life was a light of some mankind. No, it doesn't say that. All mankind. He, referring now to John the Baptist, came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him, that's Jesus, all might believe. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And he was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. Jesus might have been born in the little town of Bethlehem, as the song goes, but the advent of his birth is absolutely global. John's wide-angle perspective of God's vision for the world, it's God's love story for the world embodied in the person of Jesus. So let me show you some different perspectives on God's global Christmas story. Jesus created the whole world in love. He begins the gospel by beginning with something familiar. In the beginning was the Word. And so this makes you think back to, where was the last time we heard that phrase, in the beginning? Well, he profoundly, of course, echoes Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The word Word in English, Logos in Greek. John tells us later in 14-17 that the Word is Jesus. Logos is Jesus. Now, the Gospel of Luke and Matthew, they actually start down on the earth, but John starts from above. Whole different perspective. John tells us that Jesus all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Nodding in agreement, Paul says in Colossians 1:16, in him, referring precisely to Jesus, all things were created. So as you can tell, John jumps into the deep end of the pool, right? I mean, we could spend a few days haggling over these words of profound, immense importance. This wide-angle perspective gives us God's point of view from the beginning, where in love, God created the heavens and the earth. By the way, he didn't have to, but he did. He did it in love and with love. Jesus created the earth that we walk on, the vast oceans that we enjoy and sail on, the planets that we see on occasion that peek out, or we see through the Hubble telescope. We see the stars as we gaze into the sky, and of course the wildlife, and of course the human race. Jesus made it all, including you and me. Now, that's not your normal vision of Jesus, is it? Our normal vision of Jesus at this time of the year is baby Jesus in a manger, who is like any other baby, helpless in the hands of his mother and his father. He looks like a human. He acts like a human. He cries. The Bible doesn't tell us that, but we know he cried, right? But that is exactly who he was. He was human, except for one exceptional thing, as John tells us from the beginning. He's the creator. He was not created. He was always there. And he who always was, who always existed, created you and me and the entire world, the globe, in love and with love. And that begins the Christmas story, John's style, from above and from the beginning. Another perspective is that Jesus is the light for the whole world. Verses 4 to 5 say this: in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The great light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then skipping down to verse 9, it says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Now, John still actually has Genesis 1 in mind, even with these verses. Jesus, or God, challenged the darkness before creation. Genesis 1:1 says, if you remember, darkness is over the surface of the deep. But then he spoke and said, let there be light. And then there was light. But now Jesus, the Word, the Logos, is challenging the darkness once more, which is found within creation itself when sin poisoned the world. And Jesus comes bringing his life and light for a whole new creation and said, I am the light of the world. Jesus as the light who shines on the whole world is not one isolated incident. You know, the light of man is rather pathetic compared to the light of Jesus. You know, I remember when I was a boy, I got a flashlight for Christmas. I got other things, but I got a flashlight for Christmas. And it was the kind that you actually couldn't even swap out the batteries. They used to make batteries like that. You couldn't even swap them out, right? Cheap, ever-ready batteries molded inside the flashlight. So it was only good to read a book after the lights went out under your blankets for maybe, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then the battery is done. You just chucked it, threw it away. But Jesus is the kind of light that never stops shining. He never stops shining deep into the human heart, into the lives of all people, to bring them his true life, even to people on the outer extremities of our world. Matt Woodley, he's a pastor and author of several books, and he shared about meeting an Anglican priest by the name of Tunde in Jos, Nigeria. I'm not sure if I got his name pronounced right, but that's what I come up with. Now, Matt assumed as he got to know this man, Tunde, that he was, you know, born in a Christian home and raised in a Christian home, etc., and became a pastor. But he learned that Tunde was actually raised in a very devout Muslim family, and he never, as he grew up, never heard the name of Jesus. Never. One day he had a dream, which Jesus appeared to him, and he was holding a lit candle shining bright. He was brought into a room, and in this room there were these candles that were not lit yet. And Jesus said to Tunde, "You must take my light and you must light all of these other candles." And that was the first step in his journey to Jesus. And Tunde received other visions from Jesus. And to make a long story short, he came to accept Jesus as his Savior. His family disowned him. He was kicked out of the family as a young man. And he was treated as though he never existed, as though he were dead. But today, Tunde follows Jesus, and he is doing exactly as his vision showed. He's lighting candles. Not literally, of course. But he's preaching the gospel to the lives around him, making a difference. The light of Jesus is penetrating the darkness, one soul at a time, around the world, around this globe, to people like Tunde and to you and to me, bringing the light of life of Jesus into the lives of people, not just to a few, but around the globe. Another perspective is Jesus offers his grace. Come, they told me, even though he created the world, John says, it did not recognize him. They chose not to recognize Jesus. Now, this, of course, is the very sad part of the gospel story. As you read the gospels, it's a very sad story. It's a story of incredible rejection. Jesus came into the world in his own people, referring to his own Jewish people, and the rest of the world chose darkness instead of light. But that is why more grace was needed. John says in verse 16 and 17, out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now, we learned a little bit about this in our series in Galatians. The law, we learn, could only take us so far. Never bad, always a gift of God, always good. It simply did the job of being a signpost that pointed further out to something greater, to Jesus. But like Moses, the law can't take you to the promised land. It could only highlight our darkness and our need for something greater. That is why more grace was needed. The world needs Jesus. You need Jesus. We need Jesus. I need Jesus. We need his grace. And grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. A few verses back, it says in verse 14, John said, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." You know, in this great cosmic global story, the glorious God of heaven has stooped down to earth and lived among us in the person of Jesus. The Word became flesh, became like us, lived in a humble town of Nazareth, maybe kind of like the town of Claremont. One day, all the darkness, human sin, demonic evil, all came to a sharp point on the cross where God humbled himself in the person of Jesus, and Jesus died in the most violent, oppressive means possible, bearing the darkness upon himself and breaking its curse by dying for the world. We, the human race, could never be good enough. Israel's bloodlines were never enough. Gentile wisdom was never wise enough. All of humankind were lost in sin and selfishness and could never shine enough human light to dissipate darkness, the darkness of their soul. Although so undeserved, through Jesus' death for the world, forgiveness was granted. Release from the burden of guilt was offered. Grace was added to grace, and the door swung open to the world to receive Jesus as their resurrection and life, the light of their soul, the light of the world. What is most incredible is that anyone who accepts Jesus, the Bible tells us, anyone who believes in Jesus then and even now can be part of this global, cosmic, glorious Christmas story. And so John 1:12 famously says, "Yet to all those who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God." I mean, that's profound. Children born not of natural descent, not born of human decision, nor of human will, but born of God. You know, you don't have to be part of some elite family on earth. You don't have to be born into the families of the rich and famous. I mean, you could be born in some far-flung place in the world. Excuse me. And be rejected by your own... Oh, boy, I'm just plugging up here fast. Thank you, dear. Excuse me. You could be rejected by your own... Yeah, maybe. Maybe I'm supposed to shut up. I don't know. No. Yeah. You could be rejected by your own family, like Tunde was, but by believing in what Jesus has done for you, God's global story can be yours. You can be part of God's family. A child of God. You know, when my parents served as missionaries, they discovered, probably in great pain, that most Japanese resisted the gospel that they presented. It's tough being a missionary in some countries. So the Japanese thought that Christianity was basically a white man's religion. Or a Western religion. So Buddhism and Shintoism are the religions of Japan. So when I lived there, I'm not sure how much this has changed, but when I lived there, you got married in a Shinto wedding and you got buried in a Buddhist funeral. Go figure, right? So they just don't really care about conflict of religions. They just kind of go like that. It was the Japanese way. But that is not the global Christmas story. Jesus did not come from America. You almost have to say it. Jesus did not come from America. Jesus stooped down in grace from the heavens into the world. You got to tell them that. Jesus is from above. He is the divine one. He is God. So that all people, even the Japanese, may have life in Christ. Finally, we are witnesses of Jesus' light and grace to the world. Inserted in this Christmas story is John the Baptist. He doesn't go away. He shows up in every gospel story. Can't ignore the guy. It says, he himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. When he saw Jesus, he proclaimed, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. See how global this is? I mean, we take it for granted. We've read this all the time. But I'm trying to give you this global perspective. Just as John the Baptist is a witness to the true light of Christ, we are called to be the same. Jesus said to his disciples just before he ascended into heaven, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You hear it again. This, of course, is the heart of the message. This is God's vision. He has a vision, not for simply a few isolated people that he likes, but for the whole world. And of course, the verse you know well, John 3:16 says, God so loved the world, here we go again, that he gave his one and only Son. If Christmas and the gospel story is simply about me and my friends and my family, then we have missed the great global Christmas story. If so, God loved the world, even to die for the whole world, then our calling is to love the world by pointing the world to Jesus. So, obviously, we can't be at 15 places at the same time, right? I can only stand here right now, here in Claremont. But let's get a little practical here, okay? Basically, God is calling the church to be a global church. That can't be everywhere at the same time. But there are some things we could think about, okay? Number one, be convinced. What I mean by that is Jesus says, I am the light of the world, therefore nothing else is. You see what I mean? You have to say that today. Because you could say Jesus is the light of the world and people will say, great. But then they have other lights that they want to light. We live in a world of different beliefs and different religions and different ideologies. But these are like dim, throwaway flashlights. Jesus is making an exclusive claim. I am, which is a reference to his identity as being divine, but we have no time to get into that. I am the light of the world. I am the truth and the life. Will it offend people? You bet it will. The world did not receive Jesus when he showed up, and it's still going to happen to you and me, his witnesses. But Jesus also says, go and make disciples, beginning where you are, Jerusalem, etc., to the ends of the earth, where native spirituality is practiced, where Allah is worshipped, where Jesus is mocked. But the Christmas story of Jesus stooping down in truth and grace to the world is a global Christmas story for all people. And that's what makes it so radical and so wonderful. The world needs Jesus, my friends. That is a conviction that each of you must have. Because the world pushes back and simply says, that's good for you, keep it in your parking lot. The world needs Jesus. Secondly, you can pray. You can pray, and it can impact way across the globe somewhere. Now, of course, we can only be one place, one time. I remember when I was in Bible college a long time ago, it's getting to be a long time ago, there was a speaker by the name of David Bright. I'm not sure if anyone knows that name. But David Bright came to our college, and he challenged us to be world Christians. But basically, his message was simply to pray. Pray for revival at home, and pray for spiritual awakening for the world that has never heard of Jesus. It was great. And so we went to pray. I remember praying together with my fellow students for the Philippines, because we were a group that focused on Asia. And he starts out praying, "Dear Lord, I now pray for the Philippians." He got it wrong. So he starts all over again. "Lord, I pray for the Philistines." He goes, "Oh, man." So we all helped him along. "The Philippines. Lord, I pray for the Philippines." And then we kept on praying. But that's okay. God understands. The point is, pray for revival. Pray for spiritual awakening around the world. You know, prayer as a tool to change the world is probably the most underutilized gift that God has given to us. And you don't even have to leave your home. Prayer makes a difference. Most of us will not serve as missionaries, but you can pray for the world. Go. And by that I mean, go somewhere. So, some of us are doing that. Darren, and who else is going? Andre, going to El Salvador. Going on a mission. Some of you will join the rest of us and we'll go back to Save Care Mission. You may want to consider going on a mission trip because God can use trips like this to open your eyes to another part of the world and realize, whoa, the needs are great here. And also you can meet fellow Christians who are burdened for the world and you see a whole different perspective from their point of view. It does something to you. You see firsthand the great needs of another country, like a third world country. God may use you, call you to serve maybe a different country full time. You might want to be open to that. God may use you to support missionaries across this globe that you have never heard about before, or national workers around this world, whether it's Africa, Japan, Bosnia, wherever. Think global, because God thinks global. Finally, simply be open. Each of us should remain open to whatever God wants for you, whatever career you might have. I mean, I'm glad to hear people going to the mission field that aren't your traditional pastor missionary types who preach and teach because you need all these people, but you have people who bring their trades and their tools and skills along as well. God needs all people. Let's be open to that. But let me share you my dad's very short testimony. My dad, right after World War II, was living in Kelowna, and he was a young man that didn't know Jesus. And he was religious, but he didn't know Jesus, if you understand that, right? So one day he was invited to a church service in Kelowna, where he grew up. And there a speaker challenged the people who were there to consider going overseas as missionaries. This is kind of strange for a guy who doesn't even know Jesus. So my dad was really amused by what he was being, what he heard that day. So he thought in his little brain, he says, "Isn't this being a little bit extreme?" he said. By the end of the service, my dad's heart was changed. Something was happening. And so the speaker asked people to raise their hands if they felt God was calling them to world missions. And by golly, my dad raised his hand. The end of the service, they introduced him to the speaker. And there's a few other people that knew him and invited him. And they sat him down and they explained to him what this all meant. And so, to make a long story short, my dad became a Christian and accepted the call to world missions all on the same night. It's quite the testimony. So my dad raised his hand and he became a missionary. A few years later, he went to Bible college and all that. But picked up the vision that God has for all the world. And of course, you know my story that even though my dad did not live one day in Japan, he went back to the land of his own heritage for 45 years and met my mom. So that's how God moved one man, my dad, to be a world Christian. And he can do it for all of us. And most of us, as I said, you won't have to leave here. But there are other ways, like I suggested. So back to that little song again. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. And so maybe we should change the tune just a bit here. Because God's vision is not little, is it? God's vision is global. Way bigger than you or me, your family. Don't misunderstand me. I want you to enjoy your Christmas with your family. Eat it up. Enjoy it. But maybe you can start a new tradition in your family and you can sit down with your kids and say, you know what? Let's pray for these two young ones in Mexico because they need Jesus. And they don't have clothes. They don't have food like the rest of you. Maybe you can say, you know what, we're going to support this family over here because we can't do what they do over in Germany while they take care of these kids in hostels. But can you support them? Yeah, you can. There's all kinds of things you could do. Why? Because this is God's vision. This is a Christmas that goes way beyond Bethlehem. Way beyond Jerusalem. It goes to the uttermost parts of the world, and you and I can be part of it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the grace that you have given to each person in this room and beyond. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to go beyond our own homes, to love our neighbors beside us. Think beyond our city of Grand Prairie and beyond this country to the world, because you died for the world and you loved it so. Challenge us this Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray.